Welcome in, kingly brothers and heroic husbands from around the planet. Welcome to this new episode of the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is the one podcast where everything we do, we say, we express aims to support you become the marriage transforming hero of your relationship. In today's episode, I'm delving into ancient wisdom. There's these questions from spiritual badasses down the years, from Lao Tzu, Buddha, to Epictetus, pronouncing that, probably Arswiz, Jesus, Sun Tzu, Rumi, etc. Total masculine spiritual badasses, spiritual mavericks, mystics, amazing men that have embodied extraordinary wisdom. And I would say extraordinary wisdom, but the hard essence of everything I do here and the guys in the Heroic Husbands Men's Circle movement and is to bring extraordinary wisdom, but to make it ordinary. What's actually really extraordinary is the deluded veil of mass mediocrity, the mindset of mediocrity that is all pervasive. That's extraordinary. It's extraordinary that through the bombardment of social conditioning and popular media, in the profoundly sick society that we're in, that we're all the great, the what should be great social institutions are actually floundering, are failing miserably to support human beings individually and us collectively to thrive. As a result of that, what's really extraordinary is the profound lack of wisdom. I really want to bring it in my lived life as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a leader, as just a human being. I want to make it, you know, in my life, the embodiment of wisdom to be ordinary. And I set the gauntlet to you individually and every man here collectively to go, there must be a better way. And we are, individually and collectively in this movement, the most important leaders on the planet. I hold my hand, my heart, I really believe that. We have a massive power of influence, but only if we lean into it, if we deepen our practice, if we really go, okay, with a radical, ferocious commitment to embodying wisdom, commitment to embodying open-hearted, loving intentionality within ourselves, with our queens, in our marriages, in our family homes, and beyond. So let's jump in. The first, and they're all in the form of questions, which questions are such a potent thing. You know, beyond a question, a really great question invites your soul, invites your nervous system and mind to ponder and open. You know, you go beyond the door of a great question, you go into the infinite realms of your soul. It comes from Lao Tzu. Can you deal with the most vital matters by letting events take their course? Can you deal with the most vital matters by letting events take their course? My mind, I know for myself, in marriage, when I listen to, you know, the problems, the struggles of husbands, family men around the world, one of the great obstacles we have is our mind's tendency to fail to let events take their course. Just let it go. There's the beautiful story of two Zen monks, and quickly speaking, they're walking along this muddy road. It's in ancient times, and they meet this, you know, young, beautiful woman that's at the side. But it's in the wet season, so the road is exceptionally muddy. But being two monks, they have, you know, sworn a vow of chastity, but like non-attachment, non-physical contact with women. But one of the monks sees this young lady's, not ordeal, but the challenge that she had overcome with the beautiful attire that she was wearing, getting across this road, was a major challenge. So he just, in service, you know, lifted her on his back, transported her to the far side of the road, and on he went. And several hours later, the other monk turned to him and was like, oh, you know, like, brother or whatever, it's like, I can't let it pass. It's like, you know that we have sworn a vow to not touch, you know, the opposite sex, etc., etc. And the monk that had performed this act of service said to the monk that was, like, really still sort of pissed off and, upset about this whole thing that his fellow monk had done. He was like, "I let the lady down 2 hours ago. Why are you still carrying her?" And I would say that this is like, you know, ask yourself there. It's like, how often do you carry like the remnants of an argument with your queen? How often do you let that just like create a fog and a mist of heavy energy, you know, for the coming minutes, hours, and even days, even months? When if you can just let the event take its course. So often the feminine shitstorm, I mean, our queens will go there emotionally, but they feel into the emotion and they let it go. You know, it just happens. If you can be the mountain in the storm and let the storm have its experience, and then the mountain just lets the clouds pass. And Lao Tzu is there saying, like, can you deal with the most vital matters by letting events take their course? If you let the so-called problems of life, just know from the wisdom, like, this too will pass. What are the most vital matters? What's currently present? So what's currently present is what's there in front of you now. So the most vital matters is, you know, not getting caught up in your mind, not letting the fog of frustration and bullshit and anger and unexpressed resentments fog out your entire existence, and be fully present with your kids, with your wife, fully serving love, coming through your practice of presence in the moment. That's dealing with the most vital matters. Question number two comes from Buddha. Have I done anything today that will help me awaken? Have I done anything today that will help me awaken? And I do invite you, as always, guys, lean into this. Like, literally answer these questions. No passive listening here. That's just fucking bullshit. You know, if you're taking the time with your sacred attention and placing it on this podcast, like, ask yourself these questions. Have I done anything today that will help me awaken? You know, be the husband she brags about. She never brag about you, and honestly, it's like it's an obsolete task in some ways. It's being happy and fulfilled with yourself at the end of your day. And if you can collect, if you can dedicate your way of living over the long term, no matter how supposedly bad your life circumstance is now, I know a lot of you come to this because, hey, there's a shit show going on in your marriage, etc., etc. But this is your cross of destiny. This is your marriage is, and queen, and, you know, that situation is reflecting back to you. It's like, okay, well, the dominoes that you have been knocking over, my friend, have not been very supportive. And it's not that your marriage has a problem. It's merely a mirror reflecting back, you know, who you've been, just how effective your previous hundreds and thousands, and if not millions of thoughts, you're thinking, you're talking, you're taking action, your divine, God-given, right, creative tools that we have available to us, that your previous thinking, talking, taking action have not been very effective or conducive. So this question, have I done anything today that will help me awaken? You know, you can get heavy into words, awaken. I don't really resonate with that. What does that mean? To wake up the brilliance inside of you. To wake up your innate strength and power. To awaken you to your authentic truth. You know, what you truly desire to create as a man. What you truly desire to become in your marriage. The amazing, beautiful marriage that you would love to have with your queen. You know, have I done anything today that will help me awaken? To awaken that power. Have I meditated? Have I journaled? Have I practiced planting, sowing seeds of, you know, of connection with my queen? Have I kissed her? Have I held space for my kid properly? You know, like on when they shared something verbally, or more importantly, you know, in silence. Have I been there so present that I've noticed that they're not having a great day, and have I sat with them impeccably present, and held space for them? Have I done anything today that will help me awaken? Have I prayed? Have I got out into nature? Have I read some spiritual text that, yeah, it's on my bookshelf, you know, collecting dust the last number of years, but you have a previous relationship with that book, with the words in it, that it really unlocks your soul and spirit. You know, it's a tried and tested experience for you that you feel more inspired? Have you done it today? So beautiful, powerful question to ask yourself. Have I done anything today that will help me awaken? And if the answer is no, get to fucking work. Albeit, listening to this today, I think you've already inherently ticked that box. Well done. Number three, coming from Marcus Aurelius. Ask yourself at every moment, is this necessary? Ask yourself at every moment, is this necessary? The vast majority of disconnection, of conflict, of continued same shit, different day shittiness in marriage, in married life, and in your life as a human being. Again, our marriages just reflect back to us ultimately how we've been showing up as men in life. Is this necessary? If you ask the question, is this necessary, in conversations with your queen, like, is this absolutely necessary, what I'm about to say? You'll find a lot of the time that the continuing distrust between you, the lack of trust she has in your integrity as a man, in your capacity to do shit, is, you know, is this necessary? If you ask yourself that in moments of heart closure, is it necessary to speak this? And the vast majority of the time, in my experience, has been no, it's actually not. Because why? I'm about to speak something that is sponsored from blaming thoughts. Just to, let's take a jab at whore, because ultimately I'm just feeling unchecked shame at the background. I feel a bit inadequate. I feel I'm being called out. I'm feeling she's criticizing me. Oh, poor me. Let's just speak from blame. Is this necessary? That question immediately, if you truly ask it of yourself, will render obsolete a lot of stuff that, speaking from there, it would really help you out to question that, because you'd be able to consciously put the handbrake on. And we know within Heroic Husbands, you know, meditation is a process of coming to know your mind. You are not your thoughts and emotions. So having that sentinel, that quality control manager in your consciousness to go, is this necessary to speak? And by extension, is this necessary to do? All thoughts aren't created equally. So it's good to have a quality control manager or a question there to go, is this necessary? So you can discern, you know, really? Is it important to speak this? Is it important to do this? And from that one question, and you would start practicing discernment from this day forward. Again, it doesn't matter. If you've been living with a hood over your head and you've been stubbing your toe for decades in your marriage, that's okay. Take the hood off. This question is really potent. Is this necessary to say? Is this necessary to do? Is this necessary? You ask that, you will start developing way greater discernment. And from that conscious discernment, you'll start eradicating a lot of the dead weight. You'll be cutting off the unwanted fat off the prime, you know, T-bone steak that you've there, and having a much better marriage experience, inner world experience, and just the experience as a human being, and all of those around you to boot. Number four, coming from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Is the happiness drawn from external sources worth the inner peace that it disrupts? Is the happiness drawn from external sources worth the inner peace that it disrupts? This is so omnipresent and so vital for us to ask individually and collectively as husbands, as men, as lovers, as leaders of our family. You know, the happiness drawn from external sources. Think about addiction to work. I know myself, that's a big one for me in the past, and I still need my queen's feedback on a regular basis to make sure I don't lean into, you know, drawing an unbalanced amount of happiness and fulfillment from my work endeavors as I start, you know, dropping my spiritual practice. I drop my breathwork practice. I start dropping my time with my kids, with my queen. I'm getting a source. I do have a source of happiness, but, you know, is the happiness drawn from external sources worth the inner peace that it disrupts? Time and time again, no, no, no. That's it. Think about where you draw happiness from external sources. Think about, and I say sort of like in this question, it's happiness, but a lot of times we do it as a way. Happiness is sort of like, sedating inner anxiety, sedating shame, sedating loneliness, sedating just generalized life frustration. The external sources is like you might obsess in sports. You drink alcohol, you take drugs, porn addiction, work addiction, I've already mentioned. Happiness drawn from external sources. Maybe you end up flirting with other women. Maybe you've cheated with other women. Maybe you draw a lot of feminine attention in your day to day that is actually out of integrity with yourself as a man in your relationship with your queen, but it gives you that kick. It's an external source. Is it worth the inner peace that it disrupts? I would say, guys, no fucking no. If you're really honest with yourself, I know I've done a lot of work on this and it never is. You and I, individually, collectively, every man listening in, we will meet our deathbed. And on that deathbed, you can't come back and read and undo what you've done, how you've shown up. Anything that is repeatedly disrupting your inner peace, it is not worth it because you know you're out of integrity with yourself and it's not your greatest life that has been lived. And when you're out of integrity, when you're drawing happiness from external sources and it's disrupting your inner peace, your queen will never trust you, your kids will never trust you, and they will not follow your lead. You are not an example that they will feel inspired to follow, and that's a fucking tragedy as a man. So, is the happiness drawn from external sources worth the inner peace that it disrupts? I'm just gonna fucking say no. And if you're like, yeah, it is every single time, I don't think anything in this podcast is going to be of value to you because if that's your paradigm, that's your paradigm. But I'm not here to make you believe or follow anything. Honor your truth that's coming through you. Number five, Epictetus. And those of you that followed, I think it's an ancient, I'm probably butchering the man's name. Anyway, beautiful wisdom. I believe it was part of the Stoic philosophers, Epictetus, Epictetus, whatever. Get over it, Mark. Done is better than perfect. His question: how long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? Oh, I love this one. How long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? Mediocrity is all pervasive in our society. This is a profoundly sick society where your greatness, the best for you, the best lived human experience in your marriage, in your sex life, in your relationship as a parent, in your body, energetically, spiritually, having a body that's healthy, that's alive, that's full of fucking sexual energy. Spiritual energy, in your career, your message, do you feel on purpose where you're like, you're jumping out of bed going, yeah, it's another day to be alive. Let's fucking go, man. And you go down the stairs, do your kitchen table. And it's like you just naturally, because of the setup, because you're demanding the best for yourself, your just nervous system and heart is out there. I know. Progressively, as I've been leaning into this, I'm like demanding the best for myself. I get coaching support, my men's group, the guys in the podcast, etc. It's just my whole way of life is based around this. But for sure, when my marriage hit the shitter 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I was not demanding the best for myself. The background of my existence, my nervous system was a baseline frustration of poor me, I'm not getting what I want ever. Poor me, and like this victimhood mentality of all I was doing for my kids and all I was doing for my queen and nobody ever appreciates me, blah, blah, blah. It's fucking bullshit, ultimately. It's learned bullshit. So, how long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? If you've come to this because you're having marriage issues, I'm going to say that you're not demanding the best for yourself. Now, the best for yourself here when it comes to transforming your marriage, this is not kamikaze type shit. And you go in and you demand, make demands off your queen, and it's not something that brings conflict. Ego can sort of take this in a way that can dismantle your marriage. But I would say, I'd suggest you that you're open into the idea that raise your fucking standards, man, of in marriage, just like speak up and say, hey, baby, I'd love, like, let's speak up, not against your queen, speak up for your marriage. Baby, I'd love, you know, land it tactfully. I'd love to have a much deeper, more fulfilling sex life with you and get willing. You know, when you set that standard and you demand the best for yourself, well, you'll get to work. Don't just speak it out. Get to work. Get one-on-one coaching. Join Heroic Husbands men's circles. You know, there's tantra teachers out there. There's breathwork that does amazing things for your sex life. Demand the best for yourself from your mindset. Demand the best from yourself, realizing from extreme ownership that your thinking, your talking, your taking action are the creative tools available to you that will bring you whatever life experience you want in any realm of your existence. Marriage, parenting, money, career, purpose, spiritual endeavor, etc., etc. Physical fitness, the whole kit and caboodle is available to you. But how long are you going to wait before you demand the best for yourself? Best time to start demanding the best for yourself is 20 years ago. The other best time is fucking today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not a month's time. Stop the cycle of regret, man. Number 6. Jesus Christ. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Goes back to the inner peace. Being at one with yourself. Being in integrity with your soul. And remember, you know, some guys like, oh, but I'm atheist. I don't believe in religion and spirituality. You know, psychology. Psychology comes from psyche. The root of the word psyche means soul. Positive psychology is, you know, when you drop in and you are in integrity profoundly with your truth, with your heart, with your soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world? You know, modern life, the profoundly sick society that it is, there's a bombardment, a tsunami. It's omnipresent where we are being bombarded with the idea that gaining the whole world, you know, the big car, the second car, the fancy holidays, the fancy clothes, the super expensive watch, the massive mansion. It's like, you know, that far outstrips anything your family could ever need. It doesn't serve a purpose of inspiration. It's just like this ego-led thing. It's why, ultimately, the planet, you know, there's all this bullshit story about, you know, humans were dooming the planet, and that we have to fucking shoot off to another part of the galaxy. Like, what fucking bullshit? If we just could, you know, return home to our soul, to this inner peace, align our thinking, our talking, our taking action behind, you know, reconnecting with our soul, with feeling at one with ourselves, and showing up in a way that we express our love for ourselves, for our queen, for our family, for the world, and living with a purpose. You know, ultimately you can gain the whole world, you can actually financially gain a whole lot more doing that, but it's like you have it coming from a foundation where you're not losing your own soul. And when you lose your own soul, fighting the fight that you have been advertised and marketed into fighting, and you lose your soul, and thus from there you can't, because you're disconnected from yourself, you can't connect with your queen, and your marriage goes in the shitter. You can't connect with your kids, goes in the shitter. And what? You just quadruple down doing the stuff, which is gaining the whole world. If that was true in the times of Christ, like over 2,000 years ago, boy, oh boy, is it true today. Guys, line up your whole life to reconnecting with your beautiful soul, your conscience. Like, you know, find where you're out of integrity as a man and course correct in marriage, in parenting, in your inner relationship, in your career, financially. You won't have the answers in one day, but get to work, man. Get to fucking work. It's always day one, spiritually speaking. For what shall it profit a man if she shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Definitely your marriage will go in the shitter. That's like a core reason why you come here. But your whole life will go in the shitter and you'll end up in your deathbed. Like just fucking with a shit show. Like a car, what would you say? Like a every single day of your life in this thousands of car pileups type scenario in your mind going, fuck, I can't go back now. Don't do that to yourself, man. Sun Tzu wisdom. Number seven in our list. Can you find and exploit the advantage in every adversity? Ooh, I love this. Can you find and exploit the advantage in every adversity? Obviously, in this podcast, we're talking about many adversities, is conflict, is argument, is sexless marriage, is like same shit, different day. It's the adversity of your queen when you perceive your queen as she's just a bringer of doom. She's like judging you. She's just so harsh and she doesn't appreciate you. It's like she's this enemy. However, flip that and it's on a side. You know, it's like, can you find and exploit the advantage in every adversity? That's the role here of heroic husbands. Every single thing I speak to, kingship, every podcast, oh, hey, kingly brothers and heroic husbands. Fucking lip service if you don't take that on, man. It's like, really, take that on. The king in you, the hero in you. Heroes, like, attack hardship. The hero attacks hardship, and so hardship he doesn't come upon. Because when you attack the difficult conversation, when you attack the adversity, when you embrace it, you lean towards the storm going, come on, bring it on, adversity. It's like becomes this stage where you can go, cool, here's adversity, I'm gonna become a more powerful man. Oh yeah, you know, like I'm like, whatever the adversity is, you will find that adversity is a reflection. When you relate with something as being adverse, it's adverse only to your current ways of thinking, talking, and taking action. Adversity ends when you find new creative ways of thinking that sponsors new ways of talking and new ways of taking action. This is why this question is so fucking potent. Can you find and exploit the advantage in every adversity? Absolutely an essential mindset. A beautiful question to ask yourself. If you're having marriage problems, hey, you haven't been finding and exploiting the advantage in every adversity. Start from today. Number eight. Rumi. Oh, I love this wisdom. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Now, this is a dangerous one, I'm just realizing, because it's like, why do you stay in prison? A married man is like, when the door is so wide open, guys can just stop this episode now and go, okay, cool, divorce. The door is so wide open, Rumi even said it. All joking aside, and hey, if that's your way of looking at things, it's like, okay, you wouldn't be listening in, clearly. Humor to decide, why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? This is not reflected back to us in modern society, but like, what's prison? Prison is your ways of thinking. Where do your ways of thinking come from? Beliefs that were indoctrinated, were like maybe sometimes even bred into you, were, you know, from school, parents, society, organized religion, etc., etc., etc. That's the prison. There's a belief set that we are not very powerful in ourselves. Actually, there's a massive, all-pervasive, unspoken, unchecked state of shame in the nervous systems and minds of men around the world, without any exception, and that is prison. When the door is so wide open, and we can argue to this, it's like, it's so wide open, I don't feel free, but the door is so wide open. Start meditating. You know, it's like, wide open. Well, I actually would say, you know, why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? I repeatedly say, hey, heroic husbands, men's circles, the results are off the charts. Within 2 or 3 months, the vast majority of guys are having like massively significant whole marriage, married life, their inner world, everything is off the charts. They're feeling more confident, happy, healthy, and their queens are loving it. Why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? You know, the door is so wide open. I'm like, hey, get in the podcast description. You know, it just takes one call. It just takes 30 seconds. You make the application call, sign up first. You jump in the call. And every guy that you're hearing in the Marriage Transformation series, they went over that. They took that 30 seconds. They made the application call happen. They got in and they got to work. The door is so wide open. But why are you staying in prison? the vast majority of you guys, if not every single one of you, you're listening in because, hey, you feel like me for so many years. Marriage is a fucking prison. Family life, there's so much shit. It's overwhelming. It feels like a prison. We have a heart and a soul that sort of says, oh, I shouldn't look at it like that. But that's the lived experience, yeah? Yet, the door is so wide open. I would say, heroic husbands, men's circles, like, I mean, you have the key. I'm saying, man, there's a key for you. Go unlock the application call. It's for free. There's no obligation. Unlock the door. I'm telling you, there's a key. There's a key to the greatest freedom that you can experience as a husband, as a man. If you're in family life, I'm telling you, that's the number one place to be on the planet, is in heroic husbands, men's circles. But what are you going to do with the key? Rumi, why do you stay in prison when the door is so wide open? Rabbi Zusya, in the coming world, they will not ask me, why were you not Moses? They will ask me, why were you not Zusya? Are you striving to be someone else, or are you embracing who you are? Ooh, yeah, authenticity, authentic expression, liberated freedom of expression, freedom to be like free of constraint and free of constraint from social conditioning of who we've been told that we're meant to be. That's the masculine path. This perception that we can live just totally free of all expectation, totally free, heart and soul just surrendered into bliss in every moment. Now, that's a state of being. We have been conditioned to seek that freedom. Oh, you know, cheating on my queen, like choose a different wife. It's like, work my ass off so I can feel free eventually when I, you know, when I quit my career and I'll have all the money, financial freedom. I can travel, I can do extreme sports, I can do extreme adventures, exaggerated holidays, etc., etc., etc. Freedom of I'll be the best dad possible, I can buy my kids whatever they want, pay for whatever education, etc., etc., which is valuable in and of itself. But the real freedom is feeling free to be who you were born to be. That is the core in heroic husbands, men's circles. In this podcast, your marriage problems are a reflection of your lack of grounded, feeling safe within your nervous system, that you can be authentic. And authenticity, the word authentic comes from the same root of the word author. To be authentic is to be truly the author of your lived experience, where you can relax in and go, this is what I desire. This I have needs. And you can, from a relaxed, calm state of being, communicate that to your queen. It's such a beautiful thing. And when that is safe and you're allowing your authentic expression, your authentic human experience to come true, you can hold space for her authentic human experience, for your kids' authentic human experience. And now your beautiful masculine mountain in the storm form of leadership is bringing yourself, your queen and your kids and all other people in your life, in your lived experience, in your sacred network of and tribe of friends and family, on an upward spiral of spiritual well-being, and like it's an infinite game. My beautiful brothers around the planet, there's 9 super potent questions to unlock, to free and liberate your soul, your heart, your authentic self, to show up as a more freer, embodied masculine heart warrior, to feel freer in yourself, in your nervous system, and from there be the man she brags about, because she's going to brag about you like on the inside and even directly with her friends. If, and only if, you have the spiritual balls, drop your balls out of your pelvic cavity. I had to do it 4 years ago in my everyday processes. Like, are my balls still up there? Get them down with breathwork. Get them down with this podcast episode. It's like, bring our spiritual balls down. Reclaim our fullest power and potentiality. You start living like that, leaning into these questions as opens up and awakens you to your infinite power. That's going to have you feeling wild, alive, with a libido, energized with sexual energy, spiritual energy, and that will have you as being the most inspirational, most attractive man she has ever been in space with. And that is available with you today with the same woman. It doesn't matter, one decade in, 2, 3, 4 decades in, it's available to you, man. If And only if you have the spiritual balls to take the key, unlock the door, open it wide open, and step out of the prison that you were born into. You were born into the prison. You're not responsible for that. No shame in this game. But you do have the key, and it is your responsibility to take the fucking key, open the door, and liberate. In perfect alignment with the mantra for movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful kingly day.